looking at the subject of child training in the book of Proverbs, and looking at Proverbs 22, verse 6, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." We've seen that God has established a very definite order in the home, and that is God is the head, then man, then the wife, and then the children. That order is not to be tampered with, and we see that the parents have the responsibility to train their children. They have the responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it's the children's responsibility to obey their parents. Now, this training, there is a correction that corresponds to it, and that's what we want to look at this evening. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24, Proverbs 13, verse 24. Again, every aspect of child training requires the wisdom that is from above. It also includes when children need to be corrected, how that correction is administered requires wisdom that is from above. And we need to keep that in mind as we look at these verses this evening. But in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." We see here the word rod, which of course throughout the Old Testament was an instrument of correction, was an instrument of punishment, and all punishment should be for the sake of correction, for the sake of instruction. Scriptures speak of the rod of God, which of course speaks of the correction or the punishment of God. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, and I'd like to read verse 14. It's God speaking of Solomon or Nathan, referring to this. "I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men." Then notice verse 15, because I believe it's very important in the light of chastening. "But my mercy shall not depart away from him." So we have chastening, talking about God's chastening, and we have mercy. And we've all that are saved have experienced the rod of God. We have experienced the chastening hand of God. And there has never been a time when it was not mingled with mercy. We know that because we're here. God has always mingled it with mercy. He's never given us fully what we deserve. So there's chastening and there is mercy with that. In the book of Job, chapter 21, the book of Job, chapter 21 and verse 9, Job doing the speaking, talking about the wicked, he says, "Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them." Again, we have the rod of God. And then notice in the book of Micah, book of Micah, chapter 6, and we'll read verse 9. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Again, this is talking about God's rod. It is wise for you and I, as the children of God, when God uses the rod, it would be wise for us to hear it. It would be wise for us to hear the instruction that is behind the rod. And that should always be the case. I mean, even with the case of moms and dads. Whenever the rod, and the rod's not just referring to spanking. It's not just, the rod carries a lot of things. Again, it's referring to correction. It's referring to punishment. But there ought to be a lesson behind all uses of the rod. That's how God deals with us. There are lessons to be learned, and it would be wise for children to seek to learn the lesson. So parents are not just to punish their children because they're in a bad mood that day. You better thank God that God isn't in a bad mood. But with the punishment, there is to be a purpose. There is to be a lesson that is to be taught. It goes along with the training. So we see here back in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod. The word spareth has reference to refraining from the use of. He that refrains from the use of his rod hateth his son. So to refrain from the use of correction and punishment, and most do that in the name of love. But the Bible makes it very clear that if you refrain from correction and punishment, and this is referring to a consistent refraining, a consistent sparing of the rod, that's not an act of love at all. In fact, it is an act of hate. And modern society cannot seem to bring the two together, love and punishment. The world has a very difficult time bringing those two together. But all through the Scripture, we see that God brings them together. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Proverbs 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 19. We see the same thing. So all correction and punishment should be in love. It should be in a spirit of love and with the purpose. It's not just with the purpose. It's the purpose is not for the mom or dad to blow off steam. That's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to train them, to teach them. That is to be the purpose behind every correction. That's how God deals with us as his children. And if we would just stop and consider how God deals with us, we could learn a lot about parenting. This proverb also teaches that love is displayed by the exercise of chastening. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him, or restrains him, moderates his behavior. That's what the word chastening means. It means to restrain. It means to moderate behavior. And that's what parents are to do. They are to restrain their children. They are to moderate the behavior of their children. And this must be done betimes. That is, it has to be done over and over and over and over again, until eventually, hopefully, they get the message. And if parents are consistent and chasten their children betimes, moderate their behavior over and over again, restrain them where restraint is necessary, it'll work. It'll work. They'll get the lesson eventually. It may not be as soon as you would like. Just like when God deals with us, he doesn't quit. He just continues to deal with us over and over and over again. And our lives, of course, would be much easier if we would just learn the lesson from the get-go, but that's not the nature of children. It's not the nature of children of God. It's not the nature of any child to just learn the lesson right away. And notice in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, because this Proverb 13:24 is illustrated here in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 6 it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now from that verse we learn that there are degrees of correction and punishment. We see the word chasteneth, we see the word scourgeth. Scourgeth is much more severe than chastening. There are degrees of chastening. God, of course, knows what technique to use with each of his children, when to use it. And moms and dads need that wisdom from above to know what degree of punishment, what degree of correction needs to be administered. We see also that chastening is a mark of sonship. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that is, all children of God, then are you bastards and not sons. So it is a mark of childhood. And chastening, it's a mark of sonship. Chastening breeds reverence. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? It breeds respect. It breeds reverence. If moms and dads refuse, if moms and dads continually spare the rod, that authority is being broken down. And once authority is broken down, you've lost it. You've lost it. You have somehow got to reestablish that authority. Chastening should be for the profit of the child. Verse 10, "For they verily," that is our earthly fathers, "for a few days chastened us," that is, while we lived under their roof, "after their own pleasure." That is, they did what they thought was right, and it wasn't always right. "But he," for our profit. I don't believe there's a mom or dad alive that can honestly say that every single time that you have disciplined your children, you did it for their profit. Many times we do it because, again, we want to let off some steam. Our day's gone wrong. But God always does it for our profit. And again, heavenly wisdom dictates that as parents that we are to discipline our children for their profit, for their benefit. That's the goal. The goal is to train them up. And then notice also the goal of chastening should be for God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. It should be for God. It should be for spiritual reasons. And then notice verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." If your child is laughing while you're chastening them, you're doing something wrong. It's not to be joyous. No chastening is to be joyous. But notice, very important word, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. There is an afterward. And that's what we're aiming for, is that afterward. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the correction and punishment must of children must be done wisely. It must be done firmly. It must be done consistently. And it must be done lovingly. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That is, he stays at it. He keeps with it. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. That's a scary verse. While there is hope. The implication being, there's a time when there may not be hope. Chasten thy son while there's hope. In other words, you can wait too long. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten thy son while there is hope. In other words, you can wait till it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. I realize God can intervene and God can perform miracles. And I don't believe that you can begin too early in training your children. I do believe you can begin too late. But you cannot begin too early. Because I guarantee you, the devil does not wait until they're 12 years old to start dealing with them. He begins with them in the womb. He begins with them in the womb. And so this is not something you can put off. This begins from day one. Now again, you have to exercise some wisdom in correcting a child, an infant. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Now, again, you consider God's wise and loving discipline of his children. He has pity on his children. That is, he shows compassion. He shows sympathy upon his children. He comforts his children. Yet in spite of that, when his children need correction and punishment, though their flesh cries, he does not spare. He does not spare the rod. He administers the correction that we need and when we need it. And again, timing, just like with everything else, is very, very important. Notice in Psalm 89, Psalm 89, verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Again, God says here that if his children get out of line, he will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But then notice verse 33 again. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. There is loving kindness. There is faithfulness. It's never right for a parent to cease to love a child, for a parent to cease to show mercy. It's never right. Because God always does those things for us. The problem is that human beings have a very difficult time with balance. They either go too far with long-suffering or they go too far the other way with no long-suffering. And that's why, again, heavenly wisdom is required. You can beat your child every day with the belt and you don't show them any love. You're not getting anywhere. You're not teaching them anything. You teach them to fear you, and they may behave simply because they're afraid of you. But is that why you want your children to behave? because they're afraid? No, you want them to behave because they've learned. They've been taught the lesson. So again, we're not to spare the rod, but at the same time, we can't do away with the loving kindness and faithfulness. He uses the rod, God does, and notice 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's again referring to the rod of God. And remember, He does so for our profit. He does so for our benefit. And that is a lesson to all parents. They are to discipline their children for the benefit of their children. And then notice in Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness. Foolishness is folly. It is thoughtlessness. It is a lack of foresight, irresponsibility, indiscretion. Recklessness would be a form of foolishness. Rebellion. And it is said that foolishness is bound. That is, it's tied, it's chained, it's secured in the heart of a child. And this foolishness is contrary to the child's best interest. And if we are going to chasten them for their profit, we want to get rid of foolishness. Foolishness shows itself in tempers. Foolishness shows itself in ungodly deeds. Foolishness shows itself in willfulness and obstinacy. And there, we need to keep in mind, though, that there is a difference between foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child and childness. In childness. Don't punish a child for being a child. You don't rob them of their childhood. That's something they can never, ever get back. You don't punish them for being a child. A child is to act like a child. You cannot expect a 5-year-old to act like a 25-year-old. Now, you can expect many times 25-year-olds to act like 5-year-olds, but you cannot expect a 5-year-old to act like a 25 or 30-year-old. It's unreasonable and it's unfair. And so this foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child, it's not talking about childishness. But again, it's talking about that recklessness, that rebellion, that willfulness, that obstinacy, the things that are going to destroy that child. The things that are going to destroy that child's life if they're not corrected. Those are the things that we are to correct. And again, Paul said he put away childish things in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When we get mature, we put away childish things. But don't expect a child to put away childish things when he's still a child. And don't punish them for being a child. And then notice in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and verse 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod. Now this is obviously talking about spanking or corporal punishment. He shall not die. And again, there's people that do not know the difference between spanking and child abuse. They shouldn't have children. I mean, if they're that ignorant, They shouldn't even have children. Don't try to put the two together. Child abuse and correction. It's really an abuse of a child not to correct them. That's a form of child abuse that we don't hear much about. But it's pretty common today. So withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's not referring to salvation. It's referring to a life of destruction. You will spare the child a life of destruction. But what we want to notice here is withhold not correction. Withhold not correction from the child. To merely threaten with the rod and doing nothing but threatening is withholding correction from the child. To count the three 35 times and still never do anything is withholding correction from a child. Withhold not correction. They will destroy themselves. You have to correct them. They will ruin their lives. You have to correct them. It is the responsibility of moms and dads to issue this correction. Now, the rod is indicative of the infliction of pain. There is the infliction here of pain, physical pain. There is the infliction of hurt. Again, keep the balance. There's mercy, there's long-suffering, there's faithfulness, there's love. Those are the things that will keep you from abuse. Those are the things that keep everything in balance. So discipline is necessary. And it is the duty of parents to administer the rod. And again, this proverb teaches that it's not the purpose of the rod to destroy. That's not the purpose. It's not the purpose of the rod to destroy the child. It's the purpose to spare them from destruction. That's the purpose. You're not out to destroy them, but you're out to save them from a life of destruction. So withhold not correction. Why? Because it's right. It's right to correct the child. And also because God requires it. And because they need it. Withhold not correction because there is not a child alive that does not need correction. There's not an adult alive that does not need correction. And God gives us that correction when we need it. Then notice in Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof. Notice the two to go together. The rod, means of correction, means of punishment, and reproof. Now, reproof is to disapprove verbally. It is to scold. And why do we do that? We do that to correct, to bring correction to them. So there is the rod and there is reproof. To reprove is also to condemn verbally. Today we have a society that is afraid to say no to children. We have a society that begs and pleads with children to behave when they need correction, when they need the rod, and they need reproof. So the rod and reproof go together. They go together. Now Eli is a good example. Eli gave reproof, but he spared the rod. Now notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read verses 22 through 25. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. In other words, it was common knowledge. And Eli went and he mildly reproved his sons. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And then notice in chapter 3 and verse 13, this is the message to Eli from God. For I have told him that I will judge his house for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. God held him accountable. He gave reproof, but he did not exercise the hand of restraint. The two to go together. You can say no, 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 and the child just keeps on doing it. It's obvious that they're not getting the message. You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to go beyond speaking. It's time for the rod. Rod and reproof go hand in hand. And then lastly, Proverbs 29, verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. Again, this correction is both verbal and physical when needed. And again, wisdom is required. And again, the purpose of all this correction, whether it be verbal or physical, is to teach them to do right. Never lose sight that we are to be training them up, that we are to be bringing them up. The purpose is to teach. The purpose is to instruct. Correct thy son is what Proverbs 29, verse 17 says. That is not out of date. That is not out of date. Children can be taught at a very young age to sit in the house of God. Now, I realize that there are always going to be times when they're going to act up and they're going to have to be taken out. But for the most part, children can be taught how to behave in the house of God. And when moms and dads just entertain their children all through church services, you are setting a terrible pattern. When does that stop? I know when it stops. It doesn't. And then they become adults, and they still don't know how to sit in the house of God. So we need, again, children can be taught. They can be taught at a very young age, and you cannot begin too early. But all of this takes wisdom. It takes the wisdom that is from above. This is not earthly wisdom. This is the wisdom that comes from God. All of these subjects that we're dealing with is the result of wisdom from above. It's the result of wisdom from God. And if there is ever a time, because again, it gets harder every day. It gets harder every day to raise children. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It gets harder every day. It requires more and more wisdom all the time. But you can't, just because it gets harder, you can't let up. You can't slack up. You just can't. It's too important. But it is getting more difficult. And Moms and dads need a lot of prayer. Those who have already raised children, you don't need to raise someone else's. You need to pray for those that are raising children, that God would help them, that God would give them the wisdom that they need to raise their children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, because it is important. It is important because God said it is, but it is important for future generations as well. People do not know how to act today. Adults do not know how to act today, because children are raising children. Immature people are raising immature people. Irresponsible people are raising irresponsible people. And it's a scary thought when, again, many times we've been in the birthing room and there are times we just thank God and we praise God, and other times I say, oh God, please help them. Lord, this child doesn't have a chance. This poor kid does not have a chance unless you intervene in their lives. And sad to say, that's more often the case today than the other. And that is sad. Brother Jim, would you come and lead us verse song? Let's all stand, Brother Jim.